and welcome to the next episode of the Radio Nasties podcast with me, Vic, and as usual, Richard.
God damn it, you noob.
It's an old insult.
You've just been pwned.
Is this the Stay Alive seat? Also today, we've got a special guest. Well, returning special guest, Charlotte.
Me again, guys. Nice to be back.
We've had, like, actual guests now. Can we really even include Charlotte as a guest?
Yeah, like, what would we call her? The wench.
I fucking hate you guys.
Why are you on our fucking show, then?
Yeah. I'll see you later. This is fucking shit anyway.
It is shit, to be fair. I'll give you that.
This is probably going to get, what, like, 2 listens?
Yeah, probably. That's probably generous.
I was going to say, that's more than usual.
Yeah.
Both of them are you guys.
You decided to stay away for a bit, didn't you, after the whole hell shit?
Yeah.
So I finally persuaded Charlotte to come back on.
And I wish I hadn't even bothered.
Yeah, already. We haven't even started.
Feelings mutual.
Yeah, that's usually how we start. We haven't started yet.
You guys don't even want to be here.
No, I don't really like you. Do we have to Zoom?
Lockdown's driving us crazy that we've just come to have to do this.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's like Stockholm Syndrome at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't see anybody, but I know you. I guess I'll put up with it. So, today, we are reviewing something good. Ha, 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 ha. And it is 1999's Colobus.
Yeah. That's the review.
That's what Richard thinks of this film.
It's nice to be back. See you later.
Yeah, there's that. That's what you get for Colobus. What did you think of Colobus? Burp. Fair enough.
Is that negative? Is that positive?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll go watch something else anyway because it's not definitive. So I guess you've done your job, I suppose. So this is what, like a little slasher film, I guess?
Is it?
Like, I don't know, like... reality kind of. I don't know
what. Oh, I don't even know what to call it. It's just...
yeah, it's kind of like,
it's a film.
It's kind of like a slasher, but if it was, I don't know. I don't know how to describe this. Like, that's, I don't know. There's a reality show and people get killed.
Is there though? Is there a reality show?
No, there definitely is. There's not going to be any, like, you know, genre defying twist at the end of this film, you know, for it to be, you know, definitely not a reality TV show, you know, some fucking like very weird turn at the end. Definitely. It doesn't happen much to us, so I can rightly say it's not going to happen this time. So, shall we just get into it?
If we have to.
Yeah, yes. So, the film starts with the credits roll and someone's, like, drawing pictures. It's a very, like, Seven opener, do you know what I mean?
Don't even say that film in regards to this.
No, but I mean, like, did that come out? That came out before this, didn't it? Obviously. Was that 97?
It was late 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, I want to say 97, but this is obviously what they're, like, a load of films did this after Seven. They had this, like, opening where it's, like, drawings and shit, and they're, like, writing stuff.
When the credits were rolling, right, I really liked the score, and I was like, oh, at least the score might be good in the film, and then it wasn't, like,
fucking awful.
Yeah,
I can't even, like, hold to the end to say that. Like, the soundtrack in this film is fucking grating. I hated the soundtrack in this movie.
Yeah, well, it just made me mad because how much I liked the music in the credits. I was like, at least there'll be something positive.
Yeah.
I know you haven't seen it, but it reminded me of The Bird with the Crystal Plumage by Dario Argento.
Right.
Which was weird, because there was lots of, shots of black gloves.
Right.
Which is, like, a trope of, like, giallo films. Especially, right, like, Argento films. So I was like, is this going to be, like, some fucking wannabe Italian film? And then it wasn't. It was a wannabe American film, which I can't tell if that's worse or not.
No,
it's pretty easy for me.
It's not worse.
No, I'm not from Italian films. Richard, I think.
Yeah.
I thought you loved your Italian
films. Yeah, I do, but, you know, I do. These American films from this era are masterpieces.
Oh, dear.
Just like this one. It's a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece of cinema. You see the way I emotionally delivered that line there?
Yeah, yeah.
At least we don't own it.
I think you had more emotion in that sentence than any of the characters had in this film.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like fake emotion, yeah. So we see the fucked up drawings, and then we see, like, some TVs where cameras are placed, and then there's, like, this lingering shot on, like, this one drawing where it's like this thing that's, like, pulled its face back or something. It's, like, stretched its face back. It's pretty... The drawings are pretty good, to be fair.
Yeah. Pretty creepy.
When you see them even later on, like, they're pretty well done, and there's my positives for this movie. So we cut to, like, a POV shot, and someone's stumbling through an alley and smearing fucking blood on the walls, which is really, you know, rude, because someone's going to have to clean it off. And,
I'd love to see you in this situation. You're just, like, streeping the sweets. This fucking poor woman comes out screaming in agony and puts blood on you all, like, that was rude.
Yeah, it's rude.
I want to go home.
Dirty bitch, exactly, yeah. I've got to clean that again. I think it's raining as well, to be honest. I don't know why I'm moaning, but, you know, still, don't be doing that, you litterer. Don't litter your DNA everywhere, you fucking cunt. Oh, this film gets me angry for some reason. Remember when I was
because it's a bag of shit.
yeah. 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, so it's about 59 more than it deserves.
She gets hit by a car, luckily, and...
And then the film ends.
Yeah, I wish. She gets hit by a car and she gets blood all over the guy's car, even ruder. The guy gets out, obviously, to say, you know...
You rude bitch.
Selfish bitch, yeah. Like, why did you run in front of my car? You're already bleeding everywhere. Because you're not have seen you're going to spread that. And obviously, he sees that she's cut up in some form. I think they start saying that her face is all sliced or something. They ask, you know, who did it. And it kind of flashes. The guy who's talking to her kind of flashes. And it's this young guy who turns out to be one of the characters in the film. And he's kind of like taunting the POV. Yeah, he's like, you know, so are you gonna tell him who did it? And then it pans into like the car headlight. And then as it pans out, it's the operating room light. And these doctors are...
She keeps saying collar boss, doesn't she? And then
yeah,
the driver's like, is that your name? Like... Who the fuck is called Collar Boss?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, little baby Collar Boss. Like, what? What sort of name is that?
Are you breeding demons?
Richard, if you have another kid,
call it Collar Boss.
I'd rather kill myself.
it's even better if it's a girl as well, isn't it? Because it's like, for a demon name, it sounds fairly male. So yeah, it pans out.
So when you're in hell, no demons go by Collar Boss there.
No, not that I know of. I'll ask Dav, see if he knows any mates called Collar Boss. It's for a last
fucking... Oh yeah, me and Collar Boss go well back.
Yeah, can you imagine? He's a dick. But the doctors are like working on it, and they're basically saying, you know, the cuts are like really clean. They start acting weird, don't they? They start laughing with each other and like saying weird shit. And one of them says, Collar Boss, today you exist, which is said like 45 times in this film.
Yeah, a few too many times.
So the doctor comes in, you know, later on, Dr. Waldman, I think her name was. She's talking to the POV character, and she's saying, you know, you've had a procedure, and I think she introduced her to the detective,
yeah,
who never comes back.
No. What is it? Why are we constantly watching films with detective stories that go nowhere? That's two in a fucking week now. Is that just one of the tropes of the 90s and noughties? Like, you need to have a detective subplot that goes nowhere.
Yeah. Like, he gets introduced, though, and it looks like there's some sort of, like, you know, like, hostility between him and the POV person. Like, he kind of obviously thinks she's... You get the impression that he thinks she's done something.
But she hasn't.
Never come back.
She hasn't.
No, she's definitely not done anything.
No, it does come back.
What, the copper?
Yeah.
Very briefly at the end.
Yeah, very, very briefly at the end.
Why? What does he do?
They go back to the place that she tells them.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they say, like, oh, you know, the detectives, you know, they checked out the place. It was some elderly couple that have lived there for 22 years.
Right.
But that's it. That's all you hear.
Yeah, see, like...
That's his character plot. That's his arc.
Do you actually see him, or do you just hear him?
I don't know.
I don't even think you see him, no. I think he's just mentioned...
I think it's the Dr. Waldman that says it, doesn't she? She's It's like he never comes back.
Yeah. It's like, all right, this woman's right. Like, yeah, she's sliced up, no problem.
Get sliced up people all the time. It's not a big deal.
Oh, it's Detective Byers.
I tell you what as well, like, people, if this was released now, people would have a fucking field day with this film, because the two black characters in this film, like, show up for about 10 seconds each.
We got our diversity quota.
Yeah. What do we need? 30 seconds? We can do that.
Well, no, it's even better because it's a very, very brief bloody wannabe transgender character as well, isn't it?
Is there?
Yeah, very briefly.
Who's this?
Oh, well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, okay. But fair enough.
I underlined that.
Oh, no, I know what you're on about. Yeah, it's very briefly. No, I know what
you're... So that's enough diversity for one film. But
he says he's a woman impersonator, though.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Oh, well, yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. I've got a...
So, Detective Byers comes and he goes, and we hear about him briefly at the end, but never mind. He gives her his card as well, and he's like, call me if you get any details. And she's like, yeah.
Clearly setting up that this is supposed to be, like, a part of the film.
Yeah.
But it's not. So why?
there's, like, a redhead patient on the bed next to the POV character, and she starts talking to her about ads in the paper. She's like, oh, I find it fun to sit and read the ad.
Yeah,
and
she's looking for all, like, the lonely hearts, isn't she?
Yeah, and she finds an ad about 5 people that are needed for a project, a reality TV show kind of thing. And then we cut into, like, interviews now, don't we, of them getting people for this reality TV show.
Yeah.
Which really goes nowhere itself either, the reality TV show. Like, it's just, I don't understand, so it's just weird, this film.
Because the first one's Tina, isn't it?
Who's just disgusting.
Well, she works in like a drive-through hot dog place.
Yeah, or like a,
and
yeah,
she's doing like her little interview fucking segment while working, and there's just this guy who like wants a fucking hot dog, and she's like, oh, in a minute. It's like, how dare this guy come to a restaurant and expect service and food? How dare he? What a dick.
It's not as if, like, she's just talking to a co-worker. She's getting a fucking interview done.
Yeah.
And you're like, excuse me.
The camera.
I just want some fucking hot dogs and a soda. But, see, this one annoys me. So she's like this pigtailed fucking cunt who's... really, she's...
That is the best character description I've ever heard. Pigtailed fucking cunt.
Yeah. And she's like the character who's like overly happy and like happy go lucky and like everything's an adventure, and she's just like overly animated with her hands and everything. And this guy's obviously beeping because he wants his fucking food. The poor bastard. He's just come for his. He probably finished.
This would be you
in this
situation.
Probably 5 o'clock. He's finished. He's like, I'm gonna go get some KFC. She's only having a fucking interview, isn't she? For fuck's sake, like, I want to get home. It's at 5 now. I've been here for 25 minutes. She's getting a fucking interview done. She turns around. She's like you said, she's like, you know, you have to wait. So I'd have been like, I'm not. I'm coming in to get my hot dog, mate. I've paid for this. And she says, right, you know, here's what we do with people like this. Gets his fucking cup that she's going to put his coffee, whatever, in it. And pisses in it.
He gets what he fucking deserves, expecting service. Have some piss.
She literally just like unzips her jeans and stuffs the cup.
But she's not subtle. How can the guy not see this? But like, excuse me, I can see you pissing in my cup. And I want to tell you something. I'm into it.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoy it. You've lost this round. I enjoy piss.
That'd be great if she hands the cup, jokes on you. I usually have to pay fucking loads for this.
Yeah. Oh, he just throws it on himself when she gives it to him. Oh, it's still warm.
Oh.
He comes in. It's like, can I speak to one of the managers, please? yeah, of course. What seems to be the problem? Oh, well, one of your colleagues pissed in my drink. Like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. What can we do? No. I'm not complaining. I'm saying it was great. The best piss I've ever had.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go have a wank in your bathroom now.
Can I have my hot dog lukewarm? I like my hot dogs like I like my piss.
Yellow.
Have you got any old hot dogs? I mean,
I'd be concerned
so.
If it was there's probably a yellow hot dog.
Well, I think you should. I mean, I don't think we're trying to say it's a normal situation. Do you not? You don't eat yellow hot dogs?
I don't know. I don't eat hot dogs.
Yeah, you don't like hot dogs at all, do you?
No.
There you go. Radio Nasty's fun fact of Charlotte. She doesn't like hot dogs.
Likes 13 Ghosts, doesn't like hot dogs.
Oh, the odds are weighing in our favour.
And doesn't
favor
like shark abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, does anybody?
Yeah.
Are there people there like, I love shark abuse. It's wicked.
How about probably, you? What you probably watching that film? I think you were getting something out of that.
Richard, what are you doing? Well, I'm having a wank, aren't I? What are you talking about?
So
why are you doing it here?
Yeah, but that's normal.
What do you mean? Why are you using not wanking to the scene?
A shark porn.
Yeah. Oh my God. There's a subgenre we don't need. Oh, right. Moving on from piss cup and shark porn. We get another interview and it's this like stuck up blonde woman who's an actress. I think her name's Erica.
Erica. Oh God, she's annoying.
And she thinks she's some sort of like worldwide famous actor or something. Does she say she's been in like adult films before? And then she
says she's been in films, yeah.
But adult films?
I don't think so, because one of the characters makes a joke about it at some point.
Yeah, because he says that. That's why I thought.
No, I think he was just taking the piss.
Right, okay.
Because he says something like, oh, I don't watch the sort of films that you're in.
Yeah, so she's essentially the stuck-up character of the group. They've all got, like, there's no characters in this film. They're all just gimmicks.
Yeah.
And they're not even good gimmicks.
No, they're shit. They're, like, stereotypical, like, overdone.
You're not even rooting for any of them.
No. Why would you? And then we get, it's the guy that was flashed in the, you know, in the POV shot that said, you know, oh, are you going to tell him? It's him. And I was like, oh, is he going to be the villain then? Is that what it is? Boy, was I wrong. And he's some sort of like failed comedian. Because I think we get introduced to him, he's on stage and he's just telling awful jokes.
Which one is he? Gary or Tom?
Tom.
Tom.
Oh. Gary's the
smart. Film ponce.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course he is, yeah.
And while Tom's getting introduced, he's talking to this.
Yeah, this woman just like comes onto him out of nowhere.
Yeah, and he's dead into it, like straight away. And she just like drops the bombshell like halfway through the conversation that she's a female personator. Well, he's a female impersonator. Yeah.
So was this supposed to be funny?
Yeah, like it's like even
it
then,
wasn't.
I don't get the joke. It's like, okay.
I mean, fair play to him. He's the best female impersonator I've ever seen. He does a cracking job.
Is it's like that's what I'm saying. Like you kind of just like, well, I don't blame the guy because she does actually look like a woman.
Because she is.
Yeah, of course. But I mean,
that's like, why the joke doesn't make sense. It's just a woman.
Yeah.
It's not even like it's a transgender person. It's a female impersonator.
That's what they think's funny. It's like we're gonna get a female actress, right? And then we're gonna say she's a female impersonator. And everyone's gonna go wild.
What sort of business is that? Female impersonator, that's your profession.
It's the 90s.
But what?
Anything happens in the 90s.
What do you do? You just get paid to walk around and pretend to be a woman.
Yeah. What?
Maybe it started off as like pranks. Like you just hired them to come onto your mates.
What, you fuck them now? You're gay now.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we get the interview with Gary, which is, like you said, the film pont. And he's talking about like meaningful media. Like, you know, like our films, you know, and all things that make you give emotion. And in the background, his mates are like pulling a Mooney at the camera.
Oh, it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
it's so funny. It's just, oh, I was in stitches at this funny moment in this great film.
Oh, it's all right. It gets better, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, to be fair. Yeah. It starts off slow and then it ends even slower.
Then we get an interview with the last character, which is Kira, and she's the weird girl that every film has. It's just that's just what she is. She's the one that's been drawing the art as well.
Yeah.
And she gets all pissed off when they try to, like, show her art on camera.
Yeah, she's like, they'll think I'm a freak for drawing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. You have artistic talent. What a freak.
She does have that freaky look about her, though.
Yeah, that's because she is insane, yeah. Isn't she?
Reminds me of Maureen Ponderosa.
She does, actually, yeah. That's a very embarrassing. She generally does. I never thought of that. Yeah, she's knock like a Maureen. She's a Maureen Ponderosa that doesn't have a dead tooth. So when we cut back to Dr. Waldman, and she's talking with this other doctor about the POV character's injuries. And Waldman thinks that it's self-inflicted, but the other doctor thinks that someone did it to her. And
well, she goes on, oh, I think she's a cutter. Is that the medical term that a doctor would use?
Definitely not.
It's not.
Oh, she's a cutter.
She's a cutter.
Would they not?
To be fair, I think that's probably like 90s.
Lingo. No, that's what I'm saying. It's lingo. It's like, it's not what a medical professional would use. Definitely. You'd be like, oh, I think she does self-harm to herself.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be like, oh, she's a cutter. She's an emo freak. I bet she draws.
Oh, fucking hell. But Waldman basically says she's been saying Colobus in her sleep, like over and over and over. So cut to the weird girl, which is not foreshadowing at all. You know, after they've been talking about this mysterious POV character. And
who's then it going to be?
And then we
be?
Cut straight to Kira. Definitely.
My money's on Greg.
I think it is, you know. Yeah.
I think even she's Greg.
Yeah. Even though they refer to her as a her.
Yeah.
Greg,
I think it's the guy that got his...
Well, that's the twist at the end. Greg was transgender all along.
Oh, my God.
I loved how in sync that was from both of you.
That would be today's... twist at the end. I'd be like, oh, and after he's killed, like, murdered loads and loads of people, and it's like, turns out he's trans. See, he was good all along. So, yeah, Kira's waiting for a ride, and she's got the drawings, obviously, from the beginning of the film that she takes with her for some inexplicable reason. She gets really weird about them later on. It's like, why did you bring them then?
Yeah, why did she
take
them?
She brought her art books. Like, can you not have taken them out? Like, just... If you thought they were that, she literally just bends them in half in the book.
Yeah, no one will see them now.
Yeah, and it's like someone turns a page. Like, well, obviously, it's like a pop-up book. I'm obviously going to turn it.
But she's like, I don't want people to see my drawing, so I know what I'll do. I'll spend my entire time here drawing.
Yeah. So she gets picked up by Piss-Cup girl, Tina. And Tina makes a comment about picking her up at the Wacky Shack. And this place, I think they mentioned that this place turns out to be some sort of like troubled youth kind of place for like cutters, I guess.
The medical term. But yeah, Tina comes out with a van like, what's up, coconut? So, yeah. Who are you? Who speaks like this?
Some of the 90s dialogue in this film is fucking grim.
Like,
literally every one of Tina's lines is... You want to be sick.
It's like nails on a chalkboard.
It's just like, oh, I'm hip to that. And it's like, go and fucking kill yourself. Please. Wait, don't worry. The film's going to do it for you. So,
it's called Harville House.
Harville House. What I forgot to mention earlier, when the POV character got introduced, they showed like the POV character's arm, and she's got like a scar going up it. You know, like she slit her wrists, like horizontally. And when Kira gets in the car with Tina, she's got the same scar on her arm.
Cutters.
A fellow cutter.
The cutters crew.
So they arrive at this fucking reality house, wherever they're going, and Tom's there. And while they're standing outside, Kira sees this faceless man in the window, like looking out the window.
Pretty normal thing to see in a house. Man with no face. Yeah.
I've got here Tom Galloway. Look, Gangster of Love.
Yeah, that's how he introduces himself.
Oh.
He's like, I'm Tom Galloway. Gangster of Love.
Oh.
Okay. What does that mean? Does that mean you kill it? Like, I don't understand what that means. Like, you extort it? Do you extort love? I don't understand.
Is he fucking Steve Miller?
Oh, is it?
What?
What did you say?
I said, is he fucking Steve Miller from the Steve Miller Band?
Oh, is that who says it?
Well, it's a song. So, you know, you go, yeah, it's a song.
Sing it to us, Richard.
I just did. Are you hearing anything?
I thought you were doing that yourself, like off your own brain.
Yeah. I'm not that talented.
I was going to say, I didn't recognise the song.
No, I'm
maybe,
so
maybe I'm missing something here. Like, I thought
Richard was being really artistic there.
If I was artistic, I wouldn't be doing a podcast with you two.
Oh my!
I'd be doing creepy drawings.
Yeah, and cutting.
Oh yeah.
So they go in, they check out the house, and Erica's already in there, and she's already acting like high and mighty. You know, like she's like, "Oh, I'll give you a tour of the house."
To make things even worse, Tina says this place is the bomb. Like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Did you like that line?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. And don't get me wrong, like, it's a pretty nice house, but it's not incredible. It's just a nice house.
Yeah.
It's not like you're on fucking Cribs. It's just a big place.
Well, I mean, I guess Tina's used to being in places where you know, you could just piss in cups all the time. So I don't assume she's from very good housing. She probably lives in a trailer.
When Erica's like, oh, I'll show you around the place. This is the toilet. She's like, oh, don't worry, I prefer to go in cups. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Can you not use the loo? Nah, cups.
That's
why in fucking Stay Alive he has to wash the plastic cup, because she's done a fucking shit in it. Tina's shat in my fucking cup again. Oh, the minging my god, bitch.
A crossover. Are we having a crossover with fucking Stay Alive and Colobus? Jesus fucking hell. Wow.
The worst cinematic universe, and that's including the dark universe.
Oh dear.
Of one film.
Yeah. Did well there, guys, didn't you? So she gives them a tour of the house, and she scares them all by... She takes them downstairs into the basement, and there's, like, these three mannequins, like, around a pool table. And she goes over to one of them, and it's Gary, and he jumps out. And she's like, oh, it's such a good prank. Can everyone get scared?
Good old Gary.
Yeah, Erica and Gary are, like, laughing their heads off, like, we got you good.
And they put on this, like, horrible techno music. And dance.
For no reason. They all just start having a dance. Like, what? Why?
To really, like, horrible...
It's so horrible, generic.
Horrible techno music. And then they all just like, yeah, we'll dance. Everyone's just like, this isn't fucking gay. Like, what are we doing?
Oh, they're not even drunk. God. They're not even drunk.
I agree. Yeah. So... Later on, Tina finds she's...
Just to go back a second, if I was in a house and I saw this cool-ass fucking pool table, I'd be more like, should we have a game of pool? Not, should we just start fucking dancing to shite techno?
Yeah. And, like, who brought the music with them? Why are they bringing techno music? We'll need this.
And there was a disco ball.
There was a disco ball. Oh, I don't like remembering this film.
Yep, there was a disco ball.
Oh, no. So Tina, she later on, like, I think fucking Kira's got like something. Is it the Hoover on or something? Because Tina calls it and she's like, oh, do you want me to put your stuff away?
The hair dryer, maybe?
That's what it is. Yeah, I think it is. And Tina finds pills in Kira's stuff. Is it antidepressants or something?
It's like some sort of anxiety medication, yeah. Isn't it?
Which obviously, you know, it's like, oh, well, she's nuts as well.
Because she's a cutter.
Tina goes right out and tells everyone about the pills. She's like, oh, I found these pills. And by the way, I picked her up at that mental house.
Yeah.
Well, like, when she finds the pills in a little fucking travel kit, she's like, you're not some sort of head case, are you?
Everybody's like, concerned, though, like, but Gary's like, oh, well.
Like, Gary's like, yeah, but then Tom's like, she better not pull a Linda Blair on me. And it's like, oh, don't. No, you're not. Stop referencing stuff.
Well, because Kira's like, oh, you know, if you're not fucking comfortable sleeping with me, you know, go, you know, feel free to switch rooms. And then Tina's like, oh, no, it's fine. It doesn't bother me. And then instantly tells everyone else.
Like, yeah.
She's a bit fucking nuts, isn't she? I bet she draws.
I don't want to stay. I don't want to stay in a room with her.
Guys, you know what I'm going to do? What I'm going to do, right, is I'm going to piss in her cup. What? Tina, all you go on about is pissing in cups.
Going on about the cup thing.
Maybe, like, it's like an obsession.
There's seven of them over there. It's fucking disgusting.
The whole house stinks of fucking piss.
It's ridiculous. Well, I mean, I've got a weak bladder. I don't give go to the fucking toilet then. Don't be leaving your fucking party cups of piss around.
Are you done with that drink? Because I need a piss.
Oh, well, no, I'm nearly finished, but I don't really want the rest of it. I said, okay, I'll piss on top of it. So Kira is, like, drawing later on, and the TV turns itself on, and some guy's, you know, just casually cutting his face off. He's cutting bits of his face.
I don't know what the context is, but in my notes, I've just wrote, I hate Tom.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, he's an insufferable character.
They all are. But for some reason, I've really...
Like, over the top. like fucking annoying. Like Erica annoying. Him and Erica and Tom are like in a league of their own. Ooh. But yeah, the guy on the TV says Colobus today I exist again. And you're like, oh, it's some sort of fucking, what the fuck is it? And Tina runs up. She says that, you know, Mr. Director is downstairs. And
yeah, this is the part I hated with huge ass pizzas. All right.
Oh, yeah. She comes up. Tina comes up. She's got, oh, Mr. Director's got two huge ass pizzas for us. And they're not even that big.
They're like,
oh.
Medium at best.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. At a push.
It's like, what are you doing? These aren't gigantic. Why are you overselling things, Tina? Are you on crack? Yeah, I am actually, to be fair. Kira washes up in the bathroom and the lights go off, I think, and she sees like a creepy black guy in the mirror just staring at her. And it's like it's looking through, you know, like two-way glass. But then afterwards she has this like moment where it's supposed to be tense, I guess, where she like opens the cupboard and she's like, there's nothing behind there. And then there's nothing behind there, it's just a cupboard. And then this never comes back.
I mean, she even like starts like pushing the back of the medicine cabinet just to make sure there's nothing on the other end.
Yeah, but it's like they set up this thing where it's like, oh, the house is trapped, you know, like, well, not booby trapped, but it's, well, it is. But, you know, the house is kind of like, you know, you
set up.
Yeah, set up so you can watch them. Yeah. And it never goes anywhere, like anywhere. Like, you just, oh, the people are watching us. And then this thing where it's like two-way glass and stuff never comes back again. He said, oh, it's annoying me, this movie. It's annoying me more on the think back. So she goes to take some of her pills, but then she doesn't. So it's like, shouldn't you? Is this not what you got the pills for? You might be having an episode. Are you going to draw? Take some pills.
You freak. You so cutter.
They go downstairs with Mr. Director, who's called Carl.
But is his name Carl? Can we really trust that his name's Carl?
Who knows? But he brings, you know, he's brought them the two huge ass pizzas and he basically tells them that he's going to be in the trailer in the back and that he doesn't want any contact with them. And, you know, they should just be themselves. I think Tina like makes a comment and someone says, oh, you can't say that. And he's like, no, you've got to be yourself. Oh, this is
cringy.
Yeah. The whole film's fucking cringy, man. But as the director's leaving, Erica tries to do the whole stereotypical, like flirting with the director. She's like, oh, you know, is anybody standing out to you so far? And, you know, if there's anything I can do
sucky,
for you.
Sucky.
Yeah, exactly. She's literally like, if I fuck you, you know, will you give me, like, center stage? And he's kind of just like, nah. And he goes back to his trailer and reads a book. It's great. He's like, nope, don't want to be with you. Going back to trailer, I'm going to read a book. That's what I'd rather. Instead of
Tina's offered to piss in my cup, so you've got to beat that offer.
Yeah. At the dinner table, Erica and Tom kind of had like they have like this kind of insult match, which I'm guessing is supposed to be character bonding.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And then they ask to see Kira's drawings, and Kira does the whole thing where she's like, "Oh no, I can't show you them." And then they're like, "No, come on, show us." Okay, I'll show you them. Okay.
All right, pull my leg.
Yeah. And it's like literally they ask you twice. It's like, oh, okay, then go on. Yeah, of course you can. And then they look at her drawings, and the ones that are bent over, they just peel them back.
Well, like the ones that she willingly shows them are so mediocre.
Yeah, like the one,
and they're all acting like it's fucking Picasso or something. They're like, oh, these are amazing. I'm like, no, they're not.
Well, the one that she does of like, you know, like a self portrait of Tina.
Yeah,
looks like what, you know, Naughty Dog have done to their female characters in their game. Like, she looks so masculine. Like, if that was me being drawn, and you know, and I was Tina, I'd be like, you've made me like a fucking man. What's going on here?
I draw it as I see it.
Yeah.
Jokes, but like, if a 12-year-old did this in their art class, they'd be like, oh, that's pretty good. But when it's like a fucking girl in her 20s who claims to be an artist, and that's what you come out with, I'm like, you're not an artist. I'm sorry.
I mean, to be fair, if a 12-year-old came up to me with that, but it's fucking shit, mate. You need to go play the guitar.
This is why you're not an art teacher, Vic. No, this is why your career failed.
Draw more often, and or if you can't, if that's you drawing more often, go and take up another hobby, mate. Pick up the harmonica or the guitar or something. Do something like that. Do something else to your fingers.
Oh, that could be taken there. Yeah,
exactly. I've created a monster. So they go on about her freaky drawings and Kira runs because they're like, oh, I can't believe you looked at them. It's like they were literally just bent in half once.
Like, well, why would you not throw them away or whatever?
A group of people looking at your drawings.
I wonder what this one is.
Yeah, like if that was me and you looking at it, we'd be like, well, obviously I'm going to fold this back over.
You gave me permission. I'm having a look.
But then the drawings, obviously, are the freaky ones from the beginning, the ones that are like all fucked up, and they're kind of like, oh, you're a freak. And she runs away, and she's like, runs away to the room. It's really overly dramatic and just...
She runs away because people are calling her drawings freaky to do more freaky drawings.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, like, I mean, if I was drawing them, I'd probably take that as like a term of endearment. I'd be like, yeah, they are freaky. Cheers for that.
That's the point. Yeah, it's creepy imagery.
Like, she's literally got a drawing where it's like a couple, I guess, and they've got like a table platter, and it's got a woman's head on it with a microphone next to it that says the Voice of America. And it's like, what did you expect people to think of that? Like, was it not supposed to be freaky? Like, if it wasn't supposed to be freaky, you fucked up. Like, I don't know what you drew that for. So Erica starts going on about starring in this this slasher movie. And it's like, you know, it's very meta.
Yeah, it's a 90s horror film. It's got to have something meta in it. It's like The Law.
Yeah.
Like any 90s horror film that wasn't meta in some way could be prosecuted.
Yeah. But they basically call the slasher she was in, I can't remember what it's called now.
The Slaughterhouse Factor.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Thanks for that one, Richard.
Lovely. But they call it a Friday the 13th ripoff, just to get another reference in there.
Yeah, because Tom's like, oh, have you done any real movies?
Yeah, and it's like... Oh. And then they take the piss out of her movies... And, like, Gary does this typical, stereotypical critic thing where he's like, oh, no, I see the emotion in the characters. And
yeah, he's gone about all the just prediction of this scene and the last scene. It's like, it's a shitty slasher film.
I don't think it was supposed to be artistic, mate.
I think he's just trying to flirt with her.
Well, I guess so, but it's like, even she should see...
Yeah.
Through that, cool, yeah, like, it's not that good, mate. I mean, I think it's good, but I don't think it's that good.
No, she thinks it's fucking great, doesn't she?
Yeah.
But she's like watching the film, not realizing how shit it was. She's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so embarrassed."
No, it's like, why? You should be embarrassed. It's fucking awful.
She does like a brief rundown of the film, doesn't she? She's like, "Oh, she was like abused by her parents or something, so she burnt the house down, and then there was a curse on the house, and a load of people." Started to party at the house, so she came back to kill them. And then, like, Tom even points out, like, so they came back to the burnt down house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Kira's upstairs. She's drawing some freaky shit. And, you know, she passes out and she drops, like, her art book. And, like, it's one of the times, one of the very few times where you see, like, the view of the camera watching her.
Yeah.
And the camera
just to remind you that it's like a reality TV thing.
Yeah, but I mean, like the cameras are a few of them are in like really strange places, which makes sense later on, I guess. But it's just like when I was watching it, I was like, this reality TV show is fucking awful. Like, what?
You think this was the pilot to Dangertainment?
Oh my god! Don't put something else in the same universe, Richard. Now there's a universe within the universe. Like, oh, don't do it.
Got Collar Boss, Halloween, Resurrection, and Stay Alive.
Fucking great.
Oh, the bad thing is, Halloween Resurrection's probably the best film out of all them.
Yeah, probably true. But yeah, so you get like the camera watching her, and it's her book falls down on the floor, and this. Someone reaches out and grabs the art book in. And then it's like this scarred hand. It reaches out for Kira.
It strokes her arm.
Yeah, and then she wakes up. And it's like, oh, what the fuck is going on in this movie? Like, what angle are you going with? Don't understand.
Yeah, but then she wakes up and she goes underneath the bed and grabs the book and there's nobody under the bed.
No, and then it's like, was this supposed to be... I don't understand this.
Yeah.
I know, like, it's supposed to be revealed at the end, but it's fucking shit.
Yeah. Shocking.
So the other lot are still watching. They're watching like the third film. Like they've been down there for what, like 3 hours? No,
four and a half at the minimum.
Yeah, like 3.5 hours. Like down watching. Really?
Because she mentions there's like six of them, isn't there?
Yeah.
Because the sixth one is the final slaughter. Because one of the characters falls asleep and they're like, oh, what film are we on? And she's on like, she says like, oh, we're on The Slaughterhouse Factor 3, Death Strikes Thrice. Like, yeah. That's a film I would watch if the subtitle was
yeah, thrice.
Death yeah. strikes thrice.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you? Tina goes to get drinks or maybe piss in a cup, and Tom, he goes to bed, and the lights start flickering and kind of go out. And while Tina's in the kitchen, something completely ordinary happens, and a motorized saw blade flies out and slices fucking Tina up.
Normal thing to happen.
I don't really have these in my kitchen. Like,
oh, I do. They're all the rage these days.
Are they? And she kind of like sees the contraption, like it's in like the cupboard, and it's like this. It's like, wait, what? It's even got like a laser on it. It's like, who the fuck has made this house?
Like, who jigsaw.
Yeah.
This is Ghost Guy.
There you go. There's the fourth film in the universe.
Don't. No. So she gets like disemboweled, and it's an all right effect. It looks kind of wonky, but it's quite fucking gory.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's not terrible, but it's not.
Her intestines start hanging out.
Well, they kind of like jiggle about, don't they? Yeah. And you know, the rest of them come out, and they find, and they're like, "Oh, you're not used to these saws, are you, in these kitchen?" And she's like, "No, I live in a trailer." And they go to call for help, but the phone lines are down.
Yeah, of course they are. Of course they are, because it's a fucking horror film.
And basically, like, these metal shutters start coming down all around the house, and you're like, who made this house?
13 Ghost Guy.
Don't keep saying it, because...
Because that's what happens in that
movie. Yeah, no, I like my fan theory better.
What would you say?
Jigsaw.
Yeah. Well, I like
to play a game.
Can you imagine? Imagine if at the end of the film that turns out to be the twist.
Game over.
So they all start trying to like shout at the director through the cameras, and you know, it kind of does this shot where it shows you the cameras, so it's as if the director's just watching it happen and nothing will ever come of that. You know, it's definitely, that's definitely what's happening. Carl, the director, is
sitting
the bad
there,
guy.
Having a wank. Sitting there,
yeah,
having a
imagine?
Wank.
God, yeah. Oh, I love this. This is great. I love it when swords chop you up.
Jiggle it a bit more.
Tina's fucking.
All I need now
alive.
Is some piss. Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Gary and Erica, they decide to go and look for towels as a team, I guess.
Yeah, because that's a two-man operation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Team towel.
Towels can be quite heavy.
Kira starts like freaking out, and she's using these relaxing techniques. And Tom makes a good joke at this point. I did like this bit because he's like, "Oh, your friend just got attacked by the kitchen." Oh, like, that's quite funny. I did giggle at that a little bit. I was like, that's quite funny. Attacked by the kitchen. And he goes to like turn off the TV or something. Like, everyone seems to go off and do something like they don't need to do in this film.
Yeah, because I think Kira's on about, you know, I'm freaking out and the shit that's going on TV isn't helping. So Tom like pisses off to turn it off, which takes like fucking ages.
Yeah, like, why do we need to worry about the TV though? It's like, guys, someone's just been disemboweled.
Nobody's in panic mode.
It's quick. Somebody's been disemboweled. Turn off the TV where people are being disemboweled. Yeah.
I can't hear myself think.
There's too much disembowelment going on.
Yeah. Gary and Erica, they're upstairs. And they open this door and the lights go out. And Kira starts having this episode. She looks down at Tina and Tina's faceless. The lights come back on and Tina's body's gone. And it's like,
where'd it go?
What is going on in this film? And they start hearing Tina's voice being played back. So they follow the noise and they find this dinner plate, and they take, like, you know, like when it gets served, and I don't know what you call them.
Like, it's just like a serving tray, isn't it? Like if you were at a fucking fancy restaurant, or if you're in like a fancy hotel and got room service.
Yeah, it's like one of them fancy metal covers on your food. And obviously they pull it off, and obviously...
That shows how low class we are, that we don't know what they're called. So I've never been given food in this. Let's imagine. Most of my food comes in polystyrene trays.
yeah. But they take it off, and it's obviously Tina's head, and it's like, well, I knew it was going to be Tina's head. And there's like a little fucking dictaphone recorder, like, playing a voice, but it's like, who had time to cut someone's head off?
That's what I was thinking.
Who had time to turn the lights off, sneak in like a fucking ninja, take a body, take it out, saw the head off, put it in a dinner plate, be in the vicinity to record all these things on a voice recorder?
Previously, yeah.
and then leave it on a platter in like 10 minutes.
Pretty impressive.
And like I said, I know it gets revealed in the end, but it's fucking stupid.
Is it? Is this film stupid? I thought it was very well done.
Kira starts freaking out again. It's like, just take some pills. You're not taking them for what reason? Take the pills. You're having an episode. And she starts seeing like faceless people all around her. You know, if my mate turned around, I'm seeing faceless people. But you're on Prozac, aren't you? Yeah. Take some.
Take some, mate. Take that or have a drink.
Yeah, like do something. Like, I don't think you're supposed to be seeing faceless people. I can't see him. So you must be having... Oh, man.
So she's Gary, like freaking out. It's like, don't tell me you didn't see her. Like, she was right there. And everyone's like, well, there's no fucking faceless people here, you fucking crazy bitch.
Well, the funny thing is, the next thing that happens is even fucking better. It makes me feel great about this next bit. So Gary shakes it out of her and she turns around. She goes, oh, you know what I need? I need my fucking pills. And they're like, right, so we'll have to go in... We'll have to go and find your fucking pills for you then. What are you doing? You were literally, before you came down to dinner and you saw a black man in your mirror, right? You were like, nah, I won't take the pills then.
No, but now I will.
Now you're like, I need my pills.
I've seen a few too many faceless people now.
Yeah, like,
you're only supposed to take them after you've seen two.
Fucking hell.
I've had enough of this. Oh, I've had enough of these faceless bastards.
Can you imagine that was on the sticker, like take after seeing, you know, take after maximum of 5 faceless people. Like once you've seen them, you can.
She rings up a doctor like, I've just seen someone with no face. Should I have a pill? Like,
probably.
Save it for now. Save it for now. But if you see another one, seeing one faceless person is quite normal. But
yeah, I see two.
There might be something going on, so you should maybe take one after then.
Oh, it's just fucking hell. Tom nearly walks into the trap and he unfortunately doesn't. And Erica, like, stops him just in time. And they have, like, a little bonding thing about... He's like, oh, thank you for saving me. And I'm like, you bitch. Let him die. Let them all die. Get rid of this film. But they then hear Paul, the only person who did nothing in this film, really, poor Carl... screaming his fucking head off. So they're like, oh, where's Carl? And they see him on TV and he's getting wrapped in plastic. And you're like, oh, is this getting erotic? No, it's not getting erotic.
But Dexter going on.
Yeah, he gets stabbed. He gets wrapped in plastic so he can't breathe and then stabbed in the throat or something. You're like, oh, he was the only character I kind of liked in this movie because I hadn't seen much
pizza.
Of him.
Exactly. Yeah. Two big ass pizzas.
Well, yeah, well, fuck him for that. But you know, like the rest of the thing, you know, he's all right. And then Erica basically turns around. She's like, oh, Alex, and you're like, wait a minute, his name's Carl. He is. It's not Alex.
Yeah, because when I was watching it, I was like, I swear that his name was Carl.
Yeah.
And then it's a twist, isn't it? It's a twist.
Fuck off.
It's a clever twist.
Fuck off,
everybody. It turns out the actress. Wait for it, guys. Wait for it. The actress is an actress.
Oi.
Yeah. And it's all a project from a mysterious investor. And
do you think M. Night Shyamalan was watching this? Like, this is genius. This is brilliant.
I think he's the fucking investor. Fucking hell. He's the investor she's on about. Oh. He's like, oh my God, what can I do for the next film? Yeah. What a twist. It turns out like his film isn't a film at all. It all happened. I killed people for real life. What a twist. And you're like, oh, fuck off, Shyamalan. Oh, my days, this movie. So yeah, we get a little mid-twist of people who are actors that are actors. And poor Carl died for it. And they try to, don't they? The blood starts dripping on Erica. And they look up and Carl's been like, I don't, like glued to the ceiling or something. And you're like, who put him up there? What is going on in this film? What are we doing? Are we dealing with a slasher? Are we dealing with a reality TV show? Are we dealing with a monster? Are we dealing with a ghost? What the
None
fuck?
Of the above.
Oh, fucking hell, man. Is it the man on the TV? How is he strong enough to... Did he just cover the ceiling in glue and then just like,
yeah,
throw
he got
him
like
up
a
there?
Bottle and just squirted it all
and
up. Then,
and just... And, threw him up and hoped for the best, like fast acting glue. Fucking hell! Oh. Who? Oh, stand on a chair with a dead body.
I'd like if somebody came in the room like, what's
can
going on
here? Can you pass
me
the yellow pages? I'll stand on the yellow pages.
Nothing? Kinky sex stuff? Right, because it looks like you're gluing a dead man to
the... Are you about to try and throw that man... You know that glue's not going to stick that fast. Oh, no, it definitely will. It said it's fast acting. Yeah, but you're exaggerating a little bit. Have you ever used glue?
I think it's meant for, like, cardboard and stuff, not human bodies.
I mean, he weighs a fair bit, mate. How are you fucking... I hadn't thought of that. I think I'm strong enough. I don't think you are.
That's where he turns around and goes, look, fast acting glue to glue dead bodies to ceilings.
Well, Fair enough, then. Yeah, we're on your way,
Yeah, that's actually, I agree with that. Yeah, it does what it says on the tin. So, fair play. So they basically decide that they've got to get out through the attic. And Kira sees the fucking guy cut his face off on TV again. She's like, well, you know, it's normal. I've seen that a few times now, so it's all good. And they head up into the attic. And Tom makes a comment and he's like, this place is a goddamn funhouse. And it's like, no, it's not. It's a fucking attic. It's like, why? Because it's got some fucking mannequins.
Because it's got a few mannequins.
Like, what are you on about? Like, it's got,
imagine
like
you went to a fun house and all they had was a few mannequins. But I've been ripped off.
This is a goddamn fun house. So they look around the attic and Kira hears voices. And she walks over into this spot and she sees intestines on a rocking chair.
Pretty normal. Pretty normal thing to see on a rocking chair.
I don't know what this was supposed to be about. No. Like, is it just part of her episode, I guess? But yeah, why? It turns out that it's just like some rope coiled up on a chair. And you're like,
she's crazy.
What is going on here? Does she see visions now? Like, are the drawings visions? Like, Tom and Gary decide to break through the fucking roof. And it's got metal plates all over it. Who made this house? Like, covering it. It's got a metal plating covering it. They thought of everything. They're just like, maybe they'll get out of the roof. No, they fucking won't. I've got some fucking guys coming around tomorrow. I'll put a stop to that. You wait and see, Jeremy.
It'd be great if at the end somebody came in. It's like, you've been punked.
Yeah.
Most of us are dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got you good.
Kira hears footsteps and she... You know, she gets freaked out. Tom goes to check, but there's nothing there. And then she sees another fucked up face person, and it's just Tom, and there's that. So now she's hallucinating.
Yeah.
Everybody's a faceless person or cut fucked up person now. It's like, just take your pills. Why have you not got your pills, mate? This has never happened. Imagine you'd be so exhausted with her at this point when you'd be like, Kira, for fuck's sake.
Fuck off now.
Like, we've got someone apparently running through the house booby trapping it. It's like Macaulay Culkin grown up and decided
they should have just
offed
her. So should we just end her and pretend it's been a part of the whole thing?
Fucking
a lot less stressful.
As soon as they found them drawings, get rid.
Shoot her. Old Yeller. Get her out. Finished. Gary tells her, you know, to stick with him and she'll be okay. It's like, why? What have you done that would make me think that you're going to make me okay?
Yeah, but
we're all in the same situation and you've done as much as we have.
At that point, the lights go off and Gary's gone.
Yeah, I know. He's like, I'll look after you. Lights go off, lights go on. Oh, no, Gary's gone.
I'll see you later.
Cheers for that. This woman's going to have a severe lack of trust in men after this. Like, she gets a boyfriend after this. Oh, I'll never leave you. Somebody said that to me before, weirdly enough. I hope there's not a power cut anytime soon. Fucking hell. She tells Erica and Tom, but they're faceless, obviously. Obviously.
Why wouldn't they be? Them.
Yeah, you agree.
She can talk to them, but they won't respond.
Yeah.
Because they don't have mouths.
Oh, yeah. She runs downstairs and she sees like Gary getting like assaulted by this dark figure.
He's been stabbed, isn't he?
I mean, it's something. I thought he was being stabbed, but then he's all right after that. So I think maybe he was punching him or something.
No, he's not all right after that. He's in the bathtub and he's all.
Is he stabbed up though? I think he's just bleeding. Like he's just been battered. Bleeding.
I thought he was being stabbed up.
I mean, I feel like he'd be a lot more. Saying that, there's another death in this film. Injury in this film where there's like next to no reaction. So you're probably right, Charlotte. Yeah. He probably has been stabbed 57 times.
All these people have really high pain thresholds.
Oh, the killer's like, I'm getting no satisfaction out of this. Like, you're not screaming at all. This is boring me.
These are the worst victims ever.
Yeah, I get what you... Yeah, so do you want to take this bit, Charlotte?
No, that's all right. No, you can do it.
No, go. You can take it.
I did like this part when he's passed out in the shower. He's trying to get out and then the water starts running. But it's not, well, it's not really water.
Yeah.
It's acid.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing. Shit. Who's came into this house, fiddled with the pipes, and put acid in it?
This is what I'm saying. They've got metal plates on the roof. They've got laser-activated saw blades in the kitchen. They have fucking acid showers. I mean, who? This is Jigsaw or Macaulay Culkin. Like, it's got to be one of them, because it's who's funding this fucking house? But and then it goes nowhere. Spoilers. It's just, it's like they give you this cool fucking house and like it goes nowhere.
Oh, does anything like in this movie. Film go anywhere?
Nothing. So
the killer gets fed up and he's just like, all right,
yeah, that's great.
I'm gonna smash your face into the corner of
I did like that there.
This bit of tabletop. Yeah, he smashes it twice, but then it cuts back to like, and then his face is just like normal anyway. Like it hasn't been smashed into the side of a table.
Yeah, it's like the corner of like the sink or something, isn't it? Yeah, and he just like, I think what he does is he acids his face and then he uses the like soft part and he bashes that.
Yeah,
so I think they hide it in the shot afterwards. I think they hide it by having that side of his face is the side that got smashed.
Oh, right, yeah. That makes more sense. Because I was like, his face is fucking normal.
But because I assume that's like, I was like, oh, did he just do that so it would make him easier to smash his face in that corner?
Yeah.
Like, he's just softened up the face. He's like, well, I'll soften that up. And then I'll bash your face. And it's like, who's putting this much thinking into their kills? Like,
somebody has too much time on their hands.
This fucking... Yeah, I agree with you there.
Somebody in lockdown.
Yeah. This is a film about somebody in lockdown. Oh, I've got a well good idea for when everything goes back to normal.
I'm going to make a shit film.
Yeah. Kira gets grabbed by this dark figure after he's done with Gary. He kind of, like, punches through the door and, like, grabs Kira. And then we cut back to POV person.
I genuinely forgot this was a plot point at this point.
Yeah, so did I. But she wakes up in the hospital and she hears like someone on the bed next to her like moaning, and then the bed starts bleeding. And then Waldman comes in and she's like, oh, you're right, Kira. And it's like, oh, so it is Kira. Yeah. Well kept secret. Yeah. Like,
I was shocked. I was like, the scar on the arm.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I guessed. Did you think that was another twist? I don't understand. But she comes in and Walmart's like, you know, what fucks up with her? Because she's worrying about this person bleeding next to her. And then she looks and the redhead's just like, oh no, she's gone mental because she's fine. So Walmart like calms her down and she asks her about the scar on her wrists. And she hallucinates, Kira hallucinates Walmart saying, Colobus, today we exist. It's
again.
Like, what the fuck is this Colobus? Don't worry, it's very satisfying where it goes. So Kira wakes up again in the house. So another point in the scene with the POV storyline, I guess. Kira wakes up and Tom and Erica are there and they basically start to interrogate her because they think that she's like involved.
Yeah.
Because they don't find Gary's body, do they? They just find the bathtub that's all covered in blood.
Yeah.
And they accuse her of killing everyone. They show her the drawings they have found, which was the ones, you know, the fucked up ones, like the really fucked up ones. They're like, oh, you know, you drew these. You've definitely been killing everyone.
You freak.
Yeah, Erica finds the pills hidden in a drawer and she's like, you know, why did you hide these? And it's like, well, you know, to be fair, I'd probably think that because, I mean, she should have taken her pills fucking hours ago. So I'd be like, I'd probably be like, I think you might have something to do with this. She locks her in the bathroom, fair enough.
And then Erica's like, she's a menace.
Yeah, Tom's what? Like, oh, I don't like this. And Erica's like, well, she's a menace. It's like,
is she Spider-Man?
Are you the fucking, like, hallway monitor? Like, what's going on here? Fucking, she's a menace. Where is this dialogue from?
The 90s.
Yeah, I know, but even she's a menace. Like, that's from, like, the fucking 40s. Christopher Lee Dracula movies. Oh, he's a menace, he is. He's fucking biting everything.
Dracula's a menace.
Yeah, he's mischievous. So they decide to go and check the basement, but to get through the basement, they have to head through the kitchen, which is booby-trapped, because they're like, oh, that must be what, there must be something important down there if the kitchen's booby-trapped. It's like, all right, okay, go in there and get shot by the fucking swords, please. Tom has this little moment where he kind of, like, accuses Erica of being involved, doesn't he? He's like, well, you've already...
Well, the great thing is, there's, like, some evidence that Kira might be involved, And Tom's all like, oh, well, we shouldn't jump to conclusions, you know, it might not be her. And then there's nothing to suggest that it's Erica. And he's like, it might be you. I don't trust you. Like, what? Where have you come to this conclusion, Tom?
Like, I think it's obviously because she's obviously lied once. But I mean, I think if her partner, whatever, was brutally wrapped in plastic and stabbed and then glued to a ceiling, I think I'd probably be like, I don't think she liked that very much. So, I mean, I think I'll trust her over that. Over the woman who hasn't taken her pills and is drawing pictures of heads and acting very strange and saying this face. Yeah, she's a cutter as well.
Can't forget that. She's a cutter.
The worst. Exactly, the worst.
Not trustworthy.
So Erica gets through the kitchen and Tom's like bitches out and he's like, oh, I can't do it. And then Kira's getting taunted by like voices in the bathroom and it's like, you are fucked up, love. And the voices are basically telling her to pick up her old friend and it's a straight razor that's on the floor. It's like, well, who left that there?
Colobus.
Yeah.
Is Colobus a character now?
Yeah, I know. Well, no.
He's just turning up every now and again.
Fucking... So Erica turns around after getting through the kitchen and Tom's fucking disappeared because everyone gets disappeared. She goes looking for him. And she gets, like, smacked, I think, by something. And she runs off. And then this, like, fucking phantasm-like device, like, comes out of the fucking wall. It's like a claw.
And just, like, snaps her ankle in half.
Like, very easily.
Yeah, it's a fucking incredibly easy effect.
Yeah, like, she literally just, like... And then she has no reaction to it. She's like,
no, it's just, like, mildly irritating.
Oh my god! So she like crawls into this like trophy room.
The library.
It's got loads of but it's got like loads of animal trophies in it.
Yeah.
And you know she barricades herself in from the figure, and then somebody's already in there though, and you're like, oh, is there multiple people then? It's like no. There's going to be another horrible twist coming up as well. Somebody's already in there, and he basically impales her eye on some antlers, and it's a horrible effect as well. It's really bad.
Yeah, it's garbage. But going back to the ankle one, it's like the ankle literally just like falls. There's really that much blood. It's like somebody's cut through fucking paper or something.
Yeah, like paper mache or something, which is probably what it is, I guess. You know, we're probably, if you know, like someone who worked on this film's listening to the podcast, oh, I worked ages for that effect.
It took me 2 whole minutes to make that.
Yeah.
It was shit.
Yeah.
I don't think this person's going to rival Tom Savini or anything.
Fucking hell. Tom wakes up. I think Kira wakes him up and he asks her how she got out of the bathroom. And she said, I beat the door into submission.
Yeah, was that supposed to be a joke? So what does that even mean?
Right, so you broke the door down, is what you're saying. No, I beat it into submission. Like, was it fighting back? What are we talking about here? Who are you? I'm sick of you. Get out. I can't. It's all shutters. Oh, yeah, all right.
I forgot about the metal and the shutters.
So Tom accuses her of being the one that hit him over the head. He's like, you know, it was obviously you. And then she just like instantly convinces him she's not. She's like, no, I didn't. He's like, oh, all right then.
Yeah, that's all the proof I need. I think it might be Erica.
Tom notices that the kitchen lasers have turned off and the basement door's open. So he reckons that Erica's gone through there. So, you know, he takes Kira and he goes down after her. Then Kira notices that Tom's disappeared again, obviously.
Bye, Tom.
He's all gone. He's gone again. And then she goes down into the basement and she finds, like, all the dead characters set up, like, this fucked up art project. They're all in, like, weird positions and in, like, weird pieces. And it's, you know, it's kind of, like, ritualistic, kind of, but it's not. It's just like, what
it's like the idea? Shitty like, little display that Michael Myers made in Halloween.
Exactly, yeah.
5? I think it was Halloween 5.
And then Colobus is obviously written in blood. And it's like, oh, okay. Fair enough. What the fuck is Colobus?
Why wouldn't it be written in blood? Why wouldn't it be?
So the TV comes on again. And there's this like title card that says Colobus 6692. Which I don't know what the fuck is, even after the end of it.
Yeah, what's the numbers got to do with it?
Yeah, like, I don't understand. But it's the guy peeling his fucking face again. And, you know, Kira turns around. Tom's been sliced up. He's got like a joke. Like, someone's carved like a Glasgow smile into him. they've like cut his cheeks, you know, from his from like the start of his lips, like up in a smile. And it's like, oh, who's doing this?
Is this connected to the Dark Knight Joker?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And then
what twist?
Yeah. Oh, don't add this.
That's the twist at the end, yeah.
Fuck off. But then Kira gets grabbed by Leatherface's cousin, and he, you know, he shows...
You're like, oh, don't add that film to this universe. Don't add the fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre to it.
Yeah. He does look like a Leatherface, though, doesn't he? He looks like a Leatherface.
Diet Leatherface.
Yeah. It's this guy, and it's
like one of those memes. It's like, Mum, can we get Leatherface? Like, we've got Leatherface at home, and it's a picture of this fucking twat.
Yeah, like, you. It, like, he's peeled his face off, right? And it's obviously supposed to be like all scarred over, and it looks fucking awful. It's like, when was anybody's scars green? Like, who has green scars?
That'll be all the
his whole face is green. Like, oh, but he basically, you know, he says that the art project is based on her drawings and he's made them exist. And you're like, oh, they're supposed to be the drawings. How clever.
Showing their inner truth.
Yeah. He says that as well. Yeah, doesn't he? Yeah. And then, you know, he reveals that he's the guy from the TV and it's like, well, obviously you fucking cunt. Stop making me. It's like they didn't think their audience would get anything. Like, he's the guy from TV, just so you didn't know. I know! He was peeling his fucking face off.
He's just as mad as you are.
He was peeling his face off.
This is like the year after Face Off as well. I think this is the sequel to Face Off.
Oh, Face Off is in there now.
Now we're adding more. No, how many films has this got in its universe?
Well, we've got Face Off, Halloween Resurrection, The Dark Knight, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Stay Alive, Saw, 13 Ghosts.
it's
all connected.
No, it's not. This fucking film isn't even connected. Never mind the fucking universe.
It's not even connected to itself.
Oh.
And Maureen Ponderosa is in it.
Fucking Always Sunny is in this franchise. Fuck me in this universe. Jeez.
Why she wanted to look like a cat.
Oh, this, yeah, that's why she was traumatized so much from this incident that she became a cat.
Yeah, bad enough of this.
Oh, right. So he begins to, like, you know, he's given this fucking rundown. He's like, oh, you can be like me. And he starts slicing her face. And then, you know, he goes like, you know, take the razor and do it yourself. And she takes the razor and she turns around, and she slices his throat. And then they have kind of like a little scuffle where she hits him with a snooker ball. And then she, like, which was pretty cool, I suppose. She kind of like falls on the floor and holds like this snooker cue up. And like, well, I mean, idiotically, the guy just like walks his mouth right onto the end of the cue.
It was so convenient.
And you're like, I mean, it was a cool move, like if she'd have pulled it off, but the guy literally like just walks into
Impales himself, basically.
It's like, you saw that for miles away, mate, before you fucking did that. Did carving off your face do something to your eyesight as well? Jesus. And then we cut to Waldman, who's given Kira, you know, who's all scarred up now.
Yeah, that's where, see, that's face. Where, like, she's standing outside, she's standing at the window just looking out.
Yeah, and she's given her release papers.
Where's the detective?
This is the detective.
And then
bit,
she's just like, oh, they went to the house. Yeah, it was an elderly couple that lives there.
Yeah.
That's the twist at the end. It was the elderly couple that did all these horrendous things.
Oh, my God.
It'd be a better ending than the one we got. I want to also point out, it's like, how terrible do the scars on her face look?
Yeah, I know.
Like, they look awful.
And, like, overdone as well. Yeah. There's, like, 40 of them. It's like, did we need to go this over the top with the scars on her face? I can't understand. But Waldman basically asks her about Colobos, and Kira's like, oh, I don't know. And Waldman's like, well, I looked it up. And then kind of looks at the audience like, ready for the twist. And then she basically says, like, in ancient Greek, it basically can be translated to mutilated. And that, like, it's something to do with fucking, like, Zeus or something. And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake. What is this? What does that matter? So everyone did this because Colobus means fucking mutilated in Greek. And she, and Waldman, but, you know, basically goes on to it, you know, she's like, oh, I think you're making this all up in your head and this never happened and it's all a figment of your imagination. And you made this scenario up because you've been through some trauma And Kira storms off because she's like, no, it's definitely not that.
Plot twist. Yeah. Lovecraft.
Fucking hell. No, don't. Don't bring fucking Lovecraft into it. So Kira goes home and then just instantly starts acting like a fucking insane person. She walks in a room, in a house, and she just starts gazing at all of her artwork. And you're like, well, she's the villain, isn't she?
She just starts laughing hysterically.
Oh, she starts, like, giggling to herself. It's like, and you're like, what the fuck is going on here? She walks upstairs, giggling, and she's like, oh, it's only me. It's only me. And you're like, you're fucking mental. Are there any cats in this cunting house? And she basically walks around the house, right? And like every room is one of the rooms from the house from what's just happened.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's all in her head.
Slightly different.
She did this all in her house and she's actually a fucking serial. Oh my God.
I can feel your anguish
and it's brilliant.
How did she get into that Harville House group home?
I don't think that even happened. Well, I think she literally made this all up because she killed a load of people in a house.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
This voice is he's like, oh, touch me, and you're like, oh, what is fucking going on? And she sees
it's her knife.
It's a fucking
razor blade is talking to her.
Yeah,
so, oh, and she touch me, do it, touch me, pick me up, touch me. Like, oh my God!
So she starts cutting herself again because she's a cutter, remember? And the fucking straight razor goes. There's something I want you to do. And Kira starts typing out this. You know, she types out this paper about Colobus and mutilation. This is where she talks about Zeus, and she's like, some people say that mutilation is they consider it beauty. Like Zeus. And it's like, yeah, Zeus also fucking killed his kids and fucked everything. What are you talking about? You're going to take like a mythical deity. So he thought it was beautiful. He didn't fucking exist, mate. Talking about. I'm sure people who are mental think mutilation is beautiful. I'm going to chop my arm off. That's fucking gorgeous, that, isn't it? You see that? Look at that.
That's well fit.
Fuck off. So it's like some stupid fucking Colobus twist where it's just a word from ancient Greek. Okay. And it means mutilation. And that's why she did all this. I don't understand.
No.
Like, I don't get it. So then she places an ad at the end and it's the same one like the patient read to her. So you're like, oh, she's doing it again. And then it ends. And you're like,
thankfully.
Wonderful. And then, just like 13 Ghosts, Richard, because you and Charlotte.
I was fortunate to turn it off at the...
Faceless.
There you go. Yeah. There's another hip-hop song in the fucking credits.
Oh.
And do you know what the funny thing about it, right? It's literally just like a 30-second like soundbite of the rap song. He literally does like half a verse and then goes, face to faceless.
It's like, was the song that bad? It's like, we can't even use this whole song in our credits.
Fuck. Oh my God. This is a bad one. This is a bad one.
Oh, did you not enjoy it?
Oh, I did not.
No, it's just as you were talking about it, it seemed like you really liked it.
Yeah, I loved it. It's my favourite film of the year. And that's Colobus.
Unfortunately.
This got an Arrow release.
I was sort of hoping for a better film.
This
when
got
the next 60%. Came back on here.
Oh, that's 60%. Why we picked a new. That's why we picked a bad one.
So, I hate you both.
I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
I hate you both.
It was great because you picked it because it was a 90s horror. Like, ha, this will piss Richard off. He hates 90s horror.
I'm more annoyed. I think about this.
I love 90s horror.
Oh.
Not this one.
Oh.
Yeah, right, ratings. Who's going first?
Charlotte's the guest. She can do the honours.
So you've got, if you don't remember... Five out of five?
Yeah.
What?
Definitely not.
Putting words in the mouth. It's 5 out of 5, isn't it? It's 5 out of 5. Give it a 5.
out of 5 for as a film, like what, you know, like how well made and stuff like that. And then out of how much fun you had with it. All right.
As a film, well, there's not many good things to say about it, to be honest. I'd probably give it maybe a 1 out of 5 because. Yeah, I don't even know what to say. There's no positives in it. I didn't even like any of the characters enough to say they made it took like, me on a journey.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
That there's nobody there.
It's not as if I could. Like the film was shit, but I mean, that guy was all right. But don't say that again.
Fun factor. I'd maybe give it maybe a two. I'd give it a 2 out of 5.
You're a bit generous there.
There
were parts that I did find quite funny, and there were a couple of quotes in there I did find quite funny as
right.
well.
So you had fun because you laughed at it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I thought you said you found some bits of this film fun.
No, just I had to laugh at it.
Yeah.
So, that's it for me. So I don't think I'm ever coming on here again.
Yeah.
So no. Thanks for that.
The
guys.
Last time I came on, it was Shark Abuse, and the next time I came on, it was a very shite film.
Yeah.
Well, you got to do Dead Snow with us. You enjoyed that.
That's true. I did like that.
And Doom Asylum. That's like the best film we've ever done.
I did enjoy Doom Asylum. I did.
So, as a film, I'm going to give it a 1 as well. I completely agree with Charlotte. There's not really anything positive to say about the film. The characters are shit. The story is shit. The soundtrack is fucking garbage. The film looks horrible, but it doesn't even have like nice cinematography. It's got that horrible, grainy 90s feel to it that all of them seem to have. And it's everything I hate about 90s horrors. It's got those irritating teenagers that you just want to line up and fucking punch. So I want to colourboss all these fucks. I hate them. The humour is just pathetic. So, or we're going to piss in cups and we're going to have fucking men that turn out to be women, and we're going to have horrible one-liners from our comedian character, who's not a fucking comedian. Comedians are supposed to be fucking funny. I hate this film. It's a piece of shit. Fun factor, 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, fun factor, half a star. I didn't like anything about it. It's not even like, oh, it's got some good effects. Like, the bit where she gets her gut cut isn't that bad. But then the ankle cut is terrible.
Yeah. The acid isn't horrible.
Okay, yeah. The acid's not bad. The acid isn't bad. I'd forgotten about that.
The acid's better than the disembowelment scene. The disembowelment's all right. It's just not great. And then,
the acid attack probably is the best part about it.
Yeah.
But there's better acid attacks.
Jesus.
All right, Richard. I think you're looking into this a bit too much, ain't you?
Yeah, like acid victims that are hating you right now. Like, have there?
I do. I meant in like films, not in life.
He didn't. He's always telling me about this.
If there are any acid attack victims listening, you genuinely have my sincerest apologies.
See, when we come off the when he stops recording, right? He's gonna go right back to saying them fucking faceless cunts.
Yeah. I'm gonna start pouring acid on people in a sec.
Yeah.
Everyone needs a hobby. The scars on Kira's face at the end look atrocious. The fucking Leatherface reject looks fucking shite. It's just a terrible, terrible, terrible film. It just sums up why I don't like 90s horror. And don't get me wrong, I know not every 90s horror is as bad as this, but this is a shining example of all these 90s films with like twists and meta plots, and they think they're fucking clever and they've outsmarted you, but they haven't. I hate it.
But even if they've outsmarted you, it's not through outsmarting you, it's just through their own stupidity.
Yeah.
Like, the film's shit. Why did you think I was gonna then? Oh, no, I'm like,
1 star as a film and then half a star fun factor.
1 star as one out of five as a film again. Literally the only reason I'm saying that is because it was like, I don't know, like
we got all the way through it.
It was like, I mean, competent enough that it was mind numbing. Do you know what I mean? It was just like the most like competent filmmaking I think I've seen. Do you know what I mean? It was like you said, like the look of it's, you know, you know, it's just, it was like, it was all, you know, it looked all right.
Everything looks flat.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, it looked competent, but that doesn't make it attractive.
It looks like something you you'd see on your phone. Not not a film.
Richard, how long have you had this film?
Since about November.
Why did you buy it?
Because it was £3.
Oh, okay, okay. I'll let you off then.
It was when Zabby had their big fuck-up and they had... Everything was half price and buy one, get one free. So all the films ended up being like £3 each.
Yeah, they lost loads of money and cried about it.
Good.
So yeah, and you know, the some of the effects were all right. The acid attack, like I said, and the disembowelment were all right. Apart from that, like, there's not really much to say about it. It's like, I don't understand who... It's like the script has ADHD or something.
Where it's going.
I don't know. There's like plots and subplots coming out of everywhere and they just don't go anywhere.
You hardly tie up anything.
They're like, oh, we'll start all these parts and then we'll just see where it ends up.
Yeah, you've got the detective part, you've got the reality TV part, you've got the traps, you've got the skinless man, you've got Kira's mental health issues.
Yeah.
It's like, where is this all going?
But it's like all these moving parts that don't move.
Yeah.
It's like a film of non-moving parts. And then when the things that do move to a horrible conclusion. It's just like...
But the thing that it worries me as well, if they thought that she did this to herself, even at the end of the film, like, why did they just let her go at the end of it? She didn't even...
Yeah. Like, why would she be discharged? Like, no, you're getting fucking sectioned, you crazy cutter. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's fucking shit, and it's like, this is, like I said to you earlier, you know, it's the prime example of now when I look at reviews and I'm like, yeah, but is it 60% on Rotten Tomato?
How many people have reviewed it though? Surely there's like two.
That's still too high. That means, so yeah, it's just like, no. What did it get, user? 62%,
and that
user score. Are you fucking kidding me?
It got 60% from the
critics.
But that's only 5 reviews, right? 62%
okay.
Audience.
Yeah,
score,
but that means like,
and that's 1,370 people.
Oh my god. Yeah. Either way, it's bad. Yeah. Even them 6 critic reviews or whatever. That's the majority of them said that film was good.
Yeah. How?
Fucking hell. Yeah, the film's shit. Don't watch it. It's crap. Loads of plot lines that go nowhere. Characters that are insufferable. Oh, it's just fucking boring. And then all these, like, twisty parts where it's like the POV character, which is obviously Kira from the fucking start. And then, you know, the bit at the end where it's all Kira and, you know, she's made up this situation. It's like a fucking horror, The Usual Suspects, where she's like fucking Kaiser Soze at the end of it. It's like, dude, what the fuck are you doing in this film?
Yeah.
And then the collar boss thing turns out to be a word in Greek. Okay.
Yeah.
Cheers for this wonderful
story. I was
story.
Waiting for this collar boss to be like this person.
I thought it was going
to
be like a demon or something like that. Or like, you know, some sort of...
Anything.
Yeah.
Not just a word.
Fun fact, it's half star. I hardly had any fun with this movie at all. The only fun I had at it was laughing at like some of the lingo that they used. But then it just got cringy.
I want to emphasize, in our rating system, half a star is the lowest you can go. We don't do zeros. So when we're saying half a star, like we're saying like that's what we have to give it.
I mean, if you want to revert your score back to it, you can.
Yeah, it's not set in stone.
I want to change it to 1 now. I'll give it 1.
What 1? Oh, what fun factor. Yeah, okay.
Instead of 2, I'll give it a 1.
Yeah, fair enough. I was going to say 2 is fucking generous.
I thought that was low, but...
No.
Now speaking...
We go half star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll still get a 1, though.
Okay, yeah. It's better than a fucking 2.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm guessing some people have fun with this. I assume so, because...
60-odd% of people that watched it have fun with it, apparently.
Hell, God. Like, these are the people that are like The Last Jedi, didn't they? These are all these
savages.
People. These are the people that are like 13 ghosts.
Oh, you leave it out, Richard. Fucking zombie flesh eaters.
Yeah. Just say Last Jedi. He likes Last Jedi.
What?
He likes, well, he doesn't like it, but he doesn't mind it.
I think we should stop this podcast right now.
Didn't you say you didn't mind it?
No, I thought it was terrible.
Oh, right.
Okay. I think you're terrible.
Yeah, I do as well. But yeah, so that is Colobus, unfortunately. And the whole thing of it being a 90s horror and me probably finding this more fun horribly backfired. So yeah, so there's that. Next week, we're going to be doing something a bit earlier on.
Yeah, hopefully something that you'll enjoy a bit more.
Yeah, so if you follow the podcast, you'll know that I have an unhealthy obsession with redneck and hillbilly and deep south culture. And next week, what are we doing, Richard?
We are doing a film from 1964, and we are going to talk about Herschel Gordon Lewis's infamous Gorefest 2000 Maniacs. Bit of a follow-on from our Blood Feast episode from last year.
Hopefully it would be better than that one.
I mean, I just want to emphasize, it is better than Blood Feast, but take from that what you will.
Yeah. Blood Feast wasn't bad. It was funny to laugh at. It was terrible, but it was
funny. Was fun, yeah.
It was charming. But yeah, fair enough. So yeah, some hillbillies and blood, I guess, next week. My favorite.
What more could you want?
Night out. Yeah, exactly. So join us next time on the Radio Nasties podcast. Charlotte, thank you for finally coming back. I would like to say you were missed.
But I want to say it was a pleasure, but yeah, it really was.
We'll do a better film next time. Let us know in advance and we'll pick something better.
Yeah.
No, you won't, Richard.
No, we won't.
Just if she's like, oh, can we do Jaws on the podcast? And then we'll do Jaws the Revenge.
Maybe
we'll do a whole Jaws month.
Jaws the Revenge is better than Jaws 3D, sincerely, simply because it has Michael Caine.
Yeah, I do have to agree.
And it has one of his best reactions in film. Oh, shit. So, yeah. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Might come back, might not.
Well, that's if we want you back, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's not on demand. You've got to be invited. This is a very exclusive club.
I've got to live with you. Like, I don't want you to invest in this podcast. Like, you know, this is my time away.
I think your viewers would rather listen to me than either of you.
Would they?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't blame them, but...
Yeah. No, I don't.
Yeah, so we shall see everyone... Well, we shall be back on the Radio Nasties podcast next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Way, she's the menace.